Let me ask you something. What's the highest you've ever flown a small airplane? For a lot of us, the honest answer is higher than we thought, and we felt fine the whole time. And that right there, that feeling fine, is exactly the trap. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today, we're going to take one of those regulations that people memorize for the written test, spit back on the check ride, and then never really think about again. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.211, Supplemental Oxygen, the numbers 12,500, 14,000, and 15,000. By the end of this segment, I want those numbers to mean something to you, not as trivia, as the altitude where your own brain quietly stops being on your side. Let's walk through this together before we climb. A quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you actually earned one flight at a time. That's aviationsoul.com. Okay, let's start with why this rule exists at all. Because the why makes the numbers stick. Here's the thing about the air you're breathing right now. The percentage of oxygen in the atmosphere doesn't really change as you climb. It's about 21% down here on the ramp, and it's about 21% at 18,000 feet. That surprises people. So what changes? The pressure changes. Down low, the atmosphere is thick, and that pressure squeezes oxygen across the little membranes in your lungs and into your blood. As you climb, the air thins out. Same percentage of oxygen, but less pressure pushing it where it needs to go. So even though you're breathing normally, taking full breaths, feeling completely fine, less oxygen is actually making it into your bloodstream. That condition has a name, hypoxia. And the reason it's so dangerous is not that it hurts, it's that it feels good. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Hypoxia is not like holding your breath. When you hold your breath, your body screams at you. Your chest burns, your brain says, breathe, breathe, breathe. That urgency you feel, that's not from a lack of oxygen. That's from a buildup of carbon dioxide. At altitude, you're exhaling that carbon dioxide just fine, so the alarm never goes off. You get less and less oxygen, and your body never tells you. Instead, you get a little euphoric, a little relaxed. Maybe your fingertips tingle. Maybe the world takes on a slightly warm, pleasant quality. And your judgment, the very tool you'd need to recognize the problem, is the first thing to go soft. People have flown perfectly good airplanes straight into the ground feeling wonderful the entire way down. So that's the enemy. Now let's meet the rule that's trying to keep you ahead of it. 91.211 breaks down into three altitude bands, and I want you to think of them as escalating levels of the regulation, taking the decision out of your hands. Level 1, 12,500 feet. The rule says that above a cabin pressure altitude of 12,500 feet, up to and including 14,000 feet, the required minimum flight crew must use supplemental oxygen for any portion of the flight that lasts more than 30 minutes. Read that carefully, because there are two little hooks in there people miss. The first hook is that 30-minute window between 12,500 and 14,000, you get a grace period. You can cross over a mountain range, be up there for 20 minutes, and come back down, and you were never required to be on oxygen, but the moment you're going to sit at that altitude for more than 30 minutes, the crew must be using it, not have it available, using it. The second hook is that phrase, cabin pressure altitude. In the airplanes most of us fly, the little unpressurized single-engine trainers and travelers, cabin pressure altitude is just your altitude, what the altimeter reads. So, don't let the fancy wording throw you. Level 2, 14,000 feet. Above 14,000 feet, the grace period is gone. The 30 minutes disappears. The required minimum flight crew must use supplemental oxygen the entire time they're up there. No countdown, no window, no exceptions for a quick crossing. You are above 14,000, the crew is on oxygen, period. Level 3, 15,000 feet, and here's where the rule finally turns to the people in the back. Above 15,000 feet, each occupant of the aircraft must be provided with supplemental oxygen. Notice the wording changed. For the crew, the rule says use. For the passengers above 15,000, the rule says provided. The crew has to actually be breathing it. The passengers have to have it available to them and be provided with it. The FAA is drawing a line. The person flying the airplane doesn't get to gamble with their own alertness. The passenger, an adult who can make their own choice, at least has to have the mask sitting right there. So let's stack those up one more time, simply. So they live in your head. Crew, 12,500 to 14,000, oxygen after 30 minutes. Crew, above 14,000, oxygen the whole time. Everybody, above 15,000, oxygen provided. Now, I promised you this wouldn't just be numbers. Let's talk about the gap between what's legal and what's smart, because this is one of those regulations where the letter of the law and the reality of your body are two different airplanes. The rule says 12,500 for the crew, but your body doesn't wait for a regulation. Physiologically, most people start showing the effects of hypoxia somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 feet. Subtle stuff, your night vision, believe it or not, starts to degrade around 5,000 feet. Your reaction time slows, your ability to do math, to hold a clearance in your head, to make a good decision. All of it dulls a little for every 1,000 feet you climb. So, picture this, it's a beautiful clear day out west. You've got a long cross country, and there's terrain. So you file, or you just choose to cruise at 11,500 feet, perfectly legal. No oxygen required. You're below 12,500, you feel great. But you've been up there for 2 hours, and somewhere in hour two, you find yourself a little behind the airplane. You dial in the wrong frequency twice. You do the fuel math, and it doesn't feel right, so you do it again, and it still doesn't feel right. You're not scared. If anything, you're relaxed, maybe a little too relaxed. That is hypoxia at a completely legal altitude. The regulation was never a promise that you'd be sharp. It's a floor, not a ceiling. And the smart pilot, the one the examiner wants you to become, treats the regs as the minimum and then adds their own margin on top. That's why a lot of experienced pilots carry a little portable oxygen system and start using it well below the legal number, especially at night, especially on long flights, especially with terrain, and a $50 pulse oximeter, the same little clip that goes on your fingertip at the doctor's office, will tell you your blood oxygen saturation in about 10 seconds. Slip it on at cruise. If that number is drifting down into the low 90s or worse, your body is telling you something the regulation never will. Let me give you the practical takeaways you can actually use. First, know the three numbers cold. 12, 5, 14, 15. Crew after 30 minutes, crew the whole time. Everyone provided. If you fly out west or over any real high country, you will use these. This is not East Coast trivia. Second, respect the gap between legal and safe. If you're going to spend real time above 10,000 feet, think about oxygen even though nobody's making you. Your night vision and your judgment don't read the regulations. Third, learn to recognize your own hypoxia symptoms. Everybody's are a little different. Some people get tingling fingers, some get a headache, some get that warm euphoria, some get tunnel vision. If you ever get the chance to sit in an altitude chamber or a reduced oxygen training device, take it. Meeting your own symptoms in a safe environment once could be the thing that saves you when it counts. And fourth, the one the check ride examiner is actually listening for. When you brief a high-altitude cross-country during your oral, don't just recite the numbers. Talk about the why. Talk about hypoxia being insidious because it feels good. Talk about carrying oxygen as a personal minimum. That tells the examiner you don't just know the rule, you understand the human being the rule is trying to protect. That's the difference between a pilot who passed a test and a pilot who's going to grow old doing this. Because that's really what 91.211 is. It's not the FAA being fussy about a gas, it's a hard-won line, drawn in the exact place where a healthy, competent, well-trained pilot starts to quietly lose the ability to know they're in trouble. The airplane will keep flying just fine up there. The question the regulation is really asking is whether you will. The breakdown of the rule comes straight from Part 91 of the Federal Aviation Regulations and the physiology from the FAA's own Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, which is free and worth a slow read. If you want more like this, everything we do is at radiohangar.com. So next time you point the nose up toward the high country, do me a favor. Watch the altimeter, watch the clock, and watch yourself. Fly safe up there.